Shut your eyes. Stop your ears. Temptation is everywhere. Provocations and enticements that whet impious appetites. Urges that lead us from the virtuous path into a wilderness of sin, whose indulgences will surely return to torment us in shapes most grotesque and hideous at the unseen hour. There is always a right and a wrong, a virtuous and a sinful, a good and an evil. The moral imperative is always there, even if it is not apparent to mere mortals. And it so rarely is, as we contort our reason to the justification of what is, at best, hedonistic, but all too often is behavior both vile and destructive, like that which even now seems so alluring to a certain baron, fourth class, in his hilltop castle.
Imogen, wake up!
Then what?
We've overslept! The abbot is due to arrive any moment!
Well, what time is it?
Having the foggiest! Reliance on standardized timekeeping came in with steam trains and production lines in this medieval setting. It would be an anachronism.
Oh, yeah, well, so is referencing the Industrial Revolution.
Touché! We're both at fault! And our castle is strewn with the debris of last night's carousal.
I'm sure he won't mind a bit of mess.
But it's sinful, you sinner!
We were only drinking a little wine and enjoying the sumptuous tapestries of our home.
Yes, tapestries and chill.
Very good, that's it.
The most pernicious sin of our age.
All right, I'll just pick out these bottles.
Actually, hang on, if you move the furniture a little bit first, then we ought to be able
really,
to... Just...
You're telling me how to do this?
No, it's just, I think you'll find if we move the bed out the way, then we can get to the bottles in there a little bit. Oh, too late! Too late, it's here, it's all ruined! Coming! Just throw a blanket over the mess.
I know how to... Just answer the door.
Oh, great, sorry. I'll just answer the door, I guess. Right. Hello, Father. Welcome. Yes. We didn't know what time to expect you because of historical accuracy.
I see, and you're still... In your historically accurate tweed pajamas.
Yes, I am. I mean, no, I am not. These are the latest in fashionable day wear. You didn't think that we would be guilty of slothfulness now, did you, Father? No.
I see. Instead, you are guilty of a thraldom to the whim of fashion.
What? No, is that worse? I'm not a sinner.
That sounds like pride.
No, he's saying that we're not actually very interested in fashion.
Oh dear, you detach yourself from the material world. The sin of indifference.
What? No, shut up! Don't listen to her!
Ah, you are brutish to your wife.
I'm not!
He is a bit.
You love it, don't you?
Oh dear.
You've got it all wrong, Father.
Me? Contradicting a wise man of God.
What? No, I didn't mean to.
And poor control of your impulses. I see how you have arrived just in time.
Oh, Christ, I need a drink.
Blasphemy and alcohol. Alcohol, the devil's urine.
What? No, not the devil's urine. I meant an innocent cup of water. The devil's water. Just in the next room while I read a book and commit no sins.
Well, you know, reading too much is a sin.
Oh, I've not read anything in ages.
That is also a sin.
Right. Okay. I'll just go and I'll go see to that then.
I think you'd better.
Bye.
Welcome to our home.
Thank you, Lady Imogen. While I am here, I intend to instruct both you and your husband on how to live a less sinful life. I hope to guide you away from perdition by encouraging you to observe an extremely lengthy set of rules, which, of course, should be self-evident and instinctual to all of God's children.
Oh, so a virtual life can be achieved by following one's intuition?
A virtuous life? My goodness, no. That can only happen once you have purified yourself from the fetid corruption in which you follow daily. By religion. My religion. Eternal torment can only be avoided by doing exactly as I say, and recognizing that, of course... I had a sudden premonition that there would be a sound in the next room. What was that?
No, what's he up to now? I'm sure it's nothing sinful. Just excuse me for... Shit.
What in God's name?
Woohoo! Yeah!
Smash! Smash!
What?
Smash!
What are these grotesque gargoyle creatures?
Oh, we're making such a lovely mess!
Oh, yes! Quick! Oh, we've been spotted! Scarper!
After them!
Oh, the goblins have vanished.
Just Rufus, fallen asleep over his book with his cuddly stuffed monologue under his arm.
It's not weird. I just feel like I should get that out of the way. I mean... It is weird, in the sense of unusual, unique, one of a kind, but it's not, you know, weird. Sometimes people think, they make assumptions, wrong assumptions, and I just want you to know, it's not like that. It's weird, but it's not, you know, weird. It's not that I dislike people, I just don't particularly like them either. I find them very difficult and noisy, very noisy. Can't stand the noise that people make. They have to fill every pause, every silence with noise from their mouths and their laughter. I hate laughter. It's so... sharp and painful and pointless. They laugh even when nothing is funny. Hello. Ha ha ha. How are you today? Ha ha ha. Looks like rain today. Ha 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 ha. Better bring an umbrella. Ha 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 ha. Look at my new Macintosh. Ha ha fucking ha! I guess that's all to say that sometimes I take the quieter back roads rather than the busy high street so I can avoid all the people making noises with their mouths. And this one day, in this back road I go down every day, there's this cow. There's this cow standing there, not doing much. And that is a bit weird. There's not usually a cow there. There's never been a cow there before, but today there is a cow. Just there. I stare at the cow. It stares back at me. I stare back at the cow, staring back at me, staring at it. The cow stares back at me, staring back at the cow, staring back at me, staring at it. This goes on for several minutes. I decide to take the cow home with me. I just want to re-emphasize here, this wasn't weird. It's not like I have a thing about cows. I don't even really like cows. I just like this cow. If anything, I kind of admired the cow. It was so unruffled by life, just existing in a quiet back street in London, totally unbothered by anything. I wanted to be more like that. Maybe, in a way, this cow was my hero. And having role models is a totally normal and not weird thing to do. The cow took up a substantial amount of space in my living room. It very much became the focal point of the room. If I had had guests round, which I didn't due to my aforementioned aversion to people, it definitely would have been a talking point. The cow and I didn't talk. We just looked at each other. I pulled up some grass from the garden and lightly grilled it, medium rare, before laying it delicately over a plate drizzled with olive oil and a pinch of paprika. Then I strategically placed a nice bucket underneath the cow's rear and sat down and stared. As before, the cow stared back. I stared back at the cow staring back at me. The cow stared back at me, staring back at it. I stared back at the cow staring back at me, staring back at it. The cow stared back at me, staring back at the cow, staring back at me, staring back at it. This went on for several hours. I was fatigued and a bit annoyed, if I'm honest. I had put all the stops out for this cow. I got the good grilled grass and a nice bucket, and I like that it's unruffled by life. I always said that was what I admired most about the cow, and it's true, I do. But there's unruffled and there's just plain rude, isn't there? A little bit of gratitude wouldn't have gone amiss. I used the only weapon at my disposal, passive aggression. I start leaving the nice bucket a little bit further away than is convenient. I overcook the grass, medium to well done. I leave passive-aggressive post-it notes on the fridge about whose milk is whose. The cow seems to get larger each time I get home. It seems incrementally harder to navigate around it. It is now not so much a potential talking point as an elite obstacle course to the kitchen. I tut loudly each time I go past. I make thinly veiled comments about watching what we eat. I get lost in the cow's eyes. Again, I just really have to emphasize this. I know how it sounds, getting lost in the eyes, but it wasn't like that. It was more like looking into a total abyss, being lost in a void. Like, the cow was looking at my deepest fears, like fundamentally the worst aspects of me as a human being, and reflecting them right back at me. So like I said, not weird. I stare at the cow. It stared back at me. I stared back at the cow staring back at me. The cow stared back at me staring back at it. I stared back at the cow staring back at me staring back at it. The cow stared back at me, staring back at the cow, staring back at me, staring back at it. I stared back at the cow, staring back at me, staring at the cow, staring back at me, staring back at it. The cow stared back at me, staring back at the cow, staring back at me, staring at the cow, staring back at me, staring back at it. This went on for several days. At some point, something must have snapped. I don't remember, but given I found myself several days later wrapped in a cow's carcass, naked and crying, I guess it must have. It occurred to me in a moment that maybe all of this was a bit weird. I laughed, a sharp, painful, pointless kind of laugh, and absolutely nothing was funny.
The Unseen Hour is brought to you by Necropants. I used to wear ordinary trousers and they were, you know what? They were fine. They kept me warm, they looked okay. But I tell you what they didn't do. They didn't produce an endless supply of money. Necropants are hand-enchanted with dark magics to fill day by day with genuine, authentic, legal tender. Available in currencies from the dollar, the euro, and the pound, all the way to the zloty, krona, and the hei. And for those who are historically inclined, even the drachma, florin, and silver talent. Conversion rates apply. Necropants comes in a range of horrifyingly figure-hugging designs, which just look like the skin of your legs is just detached and mummified. And for warmer weathers, try new necro shorts. Long legwear can be stifling when it gets warmer, especially when it's made from tanned human skin. New necro shorts are the answer. Order your first pair of necro pants or necro shorts today and get a stylish necklace of human ears, absolutely free. Necropants. Once they're on, you'll never take them off.
Now, Baron Strideforth, sin can lead to some pretty freaky stuff. But even I have never before seen a horde of goblins ransacking a house and then vanishing.
Yes, yes, you... And you say that you think that this was caused by sin.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right, I see.
There's a terrible significance to everything we do, Strideforth. Hmm. And they disappeared into a room in which you were sleeping, which heavily implies that it is your sin with which they are connected.
Bugger.
Oh, wait, so I'm off the hook?
Not at all. You are heavily implicated by association. I'm afraid this appears to be a very sinful castle. And your lives are going to be a lot less enjoyable from now on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think will be causing the goblins, Father?
I think we'll need to examine Rufus's sins in order to determine what it is he has done to deserve such punishment.
Examine Rufus's sins? Are you sure? I mean, just because raucous demons appear in a man's home, does that necessarily mean that it's the result of his own moral shortcomings?
Questioning your spiritual teacher is also a sin.
Fine. All right.
So, remembering that it would be an unpardonable sin to lie to me, tell me, in what kind of evils have you been engaging?
I don't know. Smoking,
yes.
Drinking, I suppose. Oh, I don't know. What do I look like, Nennius? Looking at that's all it takes. looking at sumptuous tapestries.
We eat quite a lot of offal, and we sleep late, and we don't really do very much for the poor.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. Actually, giving too much to the poor is a sin.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's nice.
Profligacy.
Really? Pronounced that way?
Oh, yeah,
yes,
sure
that's how
about
it's
that?
Pronounced.
Oh. Yeah.
It is olden times, after all.
It is.
It is.
Don't question me. Do you ever notice how there's, if someone has a real authority, they always pronounce one of the very key words in their study differently?
Yes, how
It's because they can. It's
well,
like,
that's what I'm doing.
It's like power clashing.
That's why that happened. Then again, if you are hoarding wealth, that again is a sin. Would you consider yourselves ambitious?
No, not really. No, We're quite satisfied with our place in the world, thank you very much.
That potentially lost your place in the script.
No.
I see. You are apathetic, then. Mm. And how about your relationship with each other?
Well, he was trying to tell me how to tidy the house earlier. That was annoying.
I see. Mansplaining, was he?
That is literally all you've done since you arrived, isn't it? Besides, surely that isn't a sin for another 1,000 years or so.
Oh, you'd like to think that, would you? Wouldn't you, you monster?
I would!
I completely forgot. Then there was that unconventional romantic act.
You said that was a safe space!
Oh, dear.
Very interesting. We have to be honest, Rufus.
Oh, do we? Well, that's quite right. Let's be honest!
Well, right? I'm going to need to hear some very specific details about that later on. However, for now, I will write all of this up and devise a course for your penance. I advise you, for now, just to say your prayers and get some rest.
Right, yes, well, all right then, we will. Prayers, good night.
And no more unconventional romantic acts you hear.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe.
Oh, Rufus, do let us live pious lives from now on.
Yes. I am absolutely resolved that we shall live the piousest of lives. Good night, my love.
Good night, and let us hope we never again see one of those horrible goblins.
Steady!
Yes, me, hello! An horrible goblin manifestation of maybe some facet of the nature of Baron Strideforth or something. Emerging messily from his very flesh. Yeah, that's right. On the event of him dozing off in order to run amok in the world of humans. A little bit about me there, in case you were wondering.
Oh, is that what we are?
I was wondering about where we was coming from and the nature of our being.
Wait a second. Does this mean that we're merely aspects of someone else's personality? Does that mean we're fundamentally incomplete? Do we even have identities of our own?
Don't worry about that. Let's have some fun. Let's all run around to the beautiful chaos of Fiona Bevan.
You can borrow that book of mine. Drop it in bathwater, break the spine. Fold down the corners of pages you like. Keep it forever, I don't mind. Don't go acting all innocent. I know the margins you've written in. And where you ripped out a page or ten and rolled up a day to smoke or burn. And you're reading from the bad book, living just how you should. Ooh, don't it feel good? Ooh, don't it feel good? Do whatever. It's wild and it's beautiful, full of mistakes. Weighed down with words that you wanted to say. Baptize it in whiskey or weak old champagne. Rinse it in tears or a wedding day rain. Or see near the end where the pages get blank. We'll fill them up with or without a plan. Cause some things that happen we don't understand. And some secrets we hold in the palm of our hand. When we're reading from the bad book, living just how we should. Ooh, don't it feel good? Ooh, don't it feel good? Read from Babu. Read from Babu. Read from Babu. Then go and send it to the priest or the papers front page. Bury it deep or just throw it away. Only write that you lived and you were not ashamed. Then let somebody new write a new first page. When you're reading from the bad book, living just how you should. Ooh, don't it feel good? Ooh, don't it feel good? Do whatever you want. Freedom don't hurt no one. Ooh, don't feel good. Read from the Bible. Ooh, don't it feel good? Read from the Bible.
So, what's that? I hear music.
She's waking up! We've been rumbled! Everyone get back inside!
Oh, they're crawling into his flesh!
Oh, I'm awake! What? Oh, hello. Hello, Imogen.
What's wrong with you? That's disgusting!
Oh, has something happened?
Yes, these horrible things crawled into his skin. They came from inside him.
Oh. Gross.
Yes.
It's worse than I thought. We'll have to get those goblins out where we can confront them. Fortunately, I am always prepared for an exorcism.
Exorcism? It's very modern of you.
You're worried about those anachronisms.
Worried
again.
About those anachronisms, yes,
anachronisms.
Can't I just eat more broccoli or something?
No, I'm afraid we're way past broccoli. Lady Imogen, if you could swing this censer, there you go, while I perform this short but incredibly powerful ancient invocation. Ready? Here we go. Obtemperate obfuscati emersos ex obsceno in opprobrium obissimus. All together now.
Ooh. Oh my God, they're coming out of mine own body! Oh, it's horrible. It's extremely unpleasant. Out of there as well.
And here we are again, involuntarily dragged from our dormant state into the harsh and exposed world.
Yep. And you're horrible, disgusting, unholy, godless. I shall kill him with me sword.
I wouldn't do that, Baron. These creatures, whatever they are, share your substance, your humours. And to kill them would potentially be to end your own life.
Really?
Which is a sin. No.
Why did we change religion? This one, the old one had flaming axes.
Too late now.
Yes, no, he's right, Imogen. What even are these things? What are you things?
I don't know, really. I'm just me. We usually come out and have a nice little quiet sit down with our small group of close friends.
No, we're all about excitement and adventure.
And sensuous touching.
No, gross, stay away from me.
Yes, I'm beginning to see that these creatures represent each particular aspect of your wickedness.
Yeah, a priest? I don't believe a word he says. Our sins fan.
Yeah, we do what we want.
Yeah.
Come on now, both of you. I'm not that sinful. Just that one thing with the whisk and the. Besides, I'm
unconventional romantic act.
The unconventional romantic act. Yes. Yes.
Oh dear, I'm looking
everybody
forward to
does them. I'm not really given to luxury or adventure or lechery or revulsion or impiety or whatever that one represents.
Doing what I want!
Any more than the next man, am I? So why do I? Why does Rufus get gremlins?
It's not for us to question the Lord's punishments, only to accept them.
Boosterfever is no good!
Oh, good Lord.
Now, what can we do to rid ourselves of these representations of my husband's impiety?
Oh, it will certainly be an intensive therapeutic course of torture and flagellation. We'll probably have to enclose him in a monastery cell for the rest of his life.
I don't like the sound of that. Why do these things always happen to me? I reckon, actually, chaps, what I shall just kill them all with me sword. Here it is. Take that, you! Ow! Ah, bugger! Oh, yes, that you were right. That did seem to have some effect on me. I am literally bleeding, but I've started, so I'll finish. Take it! Terrible grip number five.
So many regrets.
Terrible grip number three. I'm using the bit of the old Leichtenauer.
I think they've had enough, Rufus.
Manuscript I-33.
They're all dead now.
Yeah, they are. That showed them.
You've chopped them in
pieces. I chopped them all up, didn't I? But in so doing, Reverend Father, I must die. Showed them, though, didn't I?
You sure did, Rufus.
I did, didn't I? Showed him off.
Wildly off script at the same time.
I lost my place.
Well done.
Oh, the lights, Imogen.
Oh, the lights.
Yes.
Stay with me, Rufus.
Oh, I'm really trying.
Well done, Rufus. I think that what you've done here.
You know, Father, I have heard it said that 'tis better to die free from sin than to live a pernicious and blasphemous life.
Well, you got there eventually, Strideforth.
I did, didn't I? Just in time.
What a heroic act. Cleansing yourself violently from sin, that's what it's all about. Oh, I'm fairly sure that I can get you sainted for this.
Excellent! Oh! Hooray! Oh, it's falling out. Gosh.
Dead.
Help me! Dead.
And so, a sinner purifies himself in the eyes of his church and his God, but loses his life in the process. And you too, dear listeners, must commit the self-violence of leaving us until we welcome you into the everlasting kingdom of the next unseen hour. We hope that you were drawn to the Unseen Hour episode 44, Manifestation. The Unseen Hour is recorded live and monthly. For live shows, see unseenhour.com. This episode was recorded at the Rosemary Branch Theatre in London, courtesy of Unattended Items. And where's my place? It was performed naughtily by Bryce Stratford, Joey Timmons, and James Carney, and featured a monologue written by and performed by Lizzie Milton. The musical guest was Fiona Bevan. Theme music by The Unrecorded. The Unseen Hour is an Unseen Things production written and produced by James Carney. Produced and created by James Carney.
Good catch.
Skipped a line. Yeah. It's very important.
He did all of it.
Me.
So, just so.
And the podcast is produced involuntarily by Andy Goddard and Ella Watts. For shows, merchandise, and more, check out our website. It's unseenhour.com. We look forward to seeing you here again at The Unseen Hour.
Hope you like tomatoes.
They look pretty good, tomatoes. Where did you get them?
Big beefy ones.
Beef tomatoes! Beef tomatoes.
Wiped your hands on that thing.
Yeah, that thing. What is it?
A pillowcase?
It's a pillowcase. Fine, it's just a pillowcase. Relax, everybody calm down.
Keeping it all in the bucket, though.
Yeah, we're keeping it all in the bucket. We're doing all the fruit and veg in a bucket today.
It's taken us a year and a half to realise we just put the fruit inside
in the bucket.
We still have the cabbage. It's got inky down.
Yeah, we still managed it. It's the tomatoes, the beef tomatoes. You got to watch them.
Hey, should we do something for our new podcast?
Yeah, let's do it. Go.
Hi, boy.
Hiya, Gerald.
Hi.
Quiet, Gerald. I need time. I need space to think, Gerald.
What have we got to think about, boys?
I'm writing, Gerald. I'm writing my magnum opus. It's an adaptation.
It's about ice cream.
Of Geoffrey of Monmouth. Set in a crazy psychedelic space future.
Am I in it?
No, you're not in it,
Jerry. Why am I not in it?
Well, you weren't in the original. You weren't alive. You weren't alive when Geoffrey Monmouth is writing. Besides, the pseudo-histories are not considered by academics or by literary critics to be worth much. You know, there hasn't really been a modern version of Geoffrey Monmouth for ages. Oh, don't cry, Gerald. Don't cry, Gerald. I know it's a crime.
It's a crime, but that's the trouble. Nobody knows what they are. They're not history, they're not literature. The Chronicles are something in between. And...
Oh, if you think it's bad for Geoffrey of Monmouth, you should try the Anglo-Norman brutes, am I right? Anyway, back to the main show. Thank you very much.
This podcast will be exclusive to our Patreon.
Jill's an avocado, by the way. I don't know if you got
Jill's
that.
Jill's an avocado.